All right, now it is time to bring in Brian Ross, Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we take a look at news stories throughout not only the United States, but also throughout the world. And we say good morning to Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall. A week in which Democrats are shell-shocked, I think, about the performance of their candidate in Pennsylvania, and the polls show a tsunami of defeat coming their way.
Well, you know, I was going to say the Pennsylvania race, where Fetterman is recovering from a stroke, it was he had no choice. He had to, you know, if you don't go on and do the debate, you get flack. And if you do go on and do the debate and you show that it's affected you a little bit, you get flack. It's going to be interesting to see if Democrats will turn out and support him in his race so he can win. And you look on the other side of the coin, where Herschel Walker, with what he's done, whether his Republicans will show up enough to support him and elect him.
It's the question of always: are you voting for the man or for the party?
Yeah,
that'll be, I guess, an issue in both states. Republicans hope it's for the party, and the same with Democrats in Pennsylvania. I have to say, you know, did they have to have him do the debate? They had to know that that was going to be a problem for him. I wonder if it's actually true that he would have been better off if he had, you know, I just wonder if he had not debated. I think he might have been better off. That was a very shocking performance, I think, even for people who thought they knew the extent of his impairment, you know, and you feel badly for the guy if you watch it. It was very difficult to watch.
Yeah, it was, and the only thing that I guess the only thing that might help save him is that Americans suffer strokes all the time and recover fully over the course of time, and there's been so much publicity about that. But it does add that twist to a very important race for the Democrats to win.
Right, because on the other hand, Mehmet Oz did not cover himself in glory with his answers, his wishy-washy answers. And the Fetterman campaign saying right after the debate they raised more than $2 million, that there was support for him. So, you know, maybe too soon to say it's over, but it was a kind of self-imposed October surprise.
Yeah, and you know what? I still am up in the air about what's going to happen with the Senate, the House. I'm not so much up in the air on, but I'm still in the Senate. I'm very, very, very interested to see what happens. It's funny, the difference between voting for House members and Senate members, it's totally different. It's totally different. I don't know why, but it always has been the way I see it. So. Normally, incumbents in the House races have a far superior chance to win, just the way their districts are redrawn. It'll be interesting to watch how it all shakes down. But regardless or not, you're still going to have Joe Biden as president.
And the other thing that's interesting, there's something called the United States Election Project, a very interesting website. It shows 45 million Americans have asked for absentee ballots, and only about 6 million of them have come in. So there's a potential out there for sort of a wave and a surge that we don't really think is being picked up by the pollsters, frankly.
I think the American public has really turned, not specifically on the pollsters, but ever since the Hillary Clinton loss, the trust in the polls is, no matter how much money parties spend on it and individuals spend on it, the trust in the polls and the accuracy of the polls is really brought under question.
Yeah, I frankly don't trust them, having seen so many supposed upsets that, maybe that they had, you know, these polls, you know, they take 1,000 people and they essentially project that for the rest of the country. So what matters so much is the sample size they pick of those 1,000 people, you know. How many are Democrats? How many are Republicans? How many are independents? I think they have a hard time gauging that more and more, and people are not as willing, perhaps, as they once were to indicate their true feelings.
Yep. Well, I want to move on to something that really is still amazing to me, and I think is amazing to people in Iran, and that is the protests are not going away. They are, matter of fact, getting bigger and bigger. And this raises some very, very big questions in Iran in the future, because the younger the population is, the more they protest and the more they want what they want.
It's they have not cracked down on them hard enough. And in fact, as often happens, the crackdowns lead to greater protests. Something to watch closely. Iran again, perhaps part of the axis of evil. Remember how George Bush called about the axis of evil. Ronald Reagan talked about the evil empire. Their help for Russia has launched these hundreds of these kamikaze-like suicide drones used against Ukraine power stations, schools, playgrounds, hospitals. They're all in, it seems, with Russia on Ukraine.
Yeah, it's once again on the world stage. It's very interesting to look at and see. Slipping back here into the United States. Once again, we have the January 6th committee, and also Donald Trump being subpoenaed. And when he agrees to show up and answer questions, you just never know what to expect, whether it's going to be 3.5 hours of pleading the fifth or not.
Well, with Donald Trump, the legal strategy really is just a strategy to run out the clock, and that appears to me that's what he's doing. The back and forth, the conditions that he would require, with Trump, who frankly, people who are in business with him say can't be trusted, his word's no good. You don't know what he's going to do. Does he really want to go and talk and be questioned by pretty skilled Democratic former prosecutors who are now Congress members? I don't think so. I think it's a kind of, I don't know what you call it, professional wrestling. Both sides kind of know what they're doing. I think it's highly unlikely, and he's just trying to position it so that they turn him down, even though he can appear to be offering to testify fully. They don't want a circus, and Donald Trump testifying live would be that for sure.
And when are Americans ever going to wake up? Shell released their profits for the last quarter this year, $9.5 billion. That's compared to $4.2 billion during the same period last year. When is the public going to really finally wake up that these companies are fleecing America whenever they get the opportunity to?
It's strange, and yet, of course, they complain that the White House, the Biden administration, has hurt them, doesn't give them enough oil to drill, and so on and so forth, none of which really is can be proven. I mean, they're talking about they changed leases and other aspects of the oil drilling regulations that would affect something maybe in 4 or 5 years. They're making lots of money, and you have to take a look at that and say, well, that's strange because we're all hurting so much. Now we know why.
Now, as somebody who's been involved in the media for a while, I'm watching this Kanye West thing with great interest. As a broadcaster, I'm not necessarily... I've had people come up to me during election years and say, do you buy Goya products? And I'll say, yeah, why? Well, because he donates to Donald Trump. And I would say, I don't care. I like the product. People saying you should choose one Home Depot over another one because someone donates to the Democrats. I don't go in for that. This Kanye West thing where he's going to lose and is losing a lot of business ties during a public outcry, I know where I stand on it. I think what he said was abhorrent and horrible, but I just, some reason I just don't like the pressures that are brought to bear.
The economic pressures by companies like Adidas or canceling deals with him.
Yeah, the people that contact the companies that force the pressure. I guess. I mean, the companies on their own making the decision. I wouldn't mind, but I think they sit and wait and see what public reaction is.
Well, they're paying him lots of money to promote his product. I think they have every right to say it's not good for business and to cut that off. There's no First Amendment right to a multi-million-dollar marketing contract.
Yeah, it's a pretty big question. And what do you think about what's now with Russia and going on in the Ukraine? It looks like everybody's really settling in for now the wintertime edition of the war.
Right, and they have before the hard freeze is a real muddy season, according to the people I've talked to. That you know, that's about to hit, which would be harder for the, particularly the Russian army to move around. And it's been interesting to see this series of sabotage attacks on the Russian railroads that are the primary way they're shipping troops and armaments into the Ukraine area. Inside Russia, they're blowing up the tracks, slowing down the deployment of troops. You know, there's a rising tide there in Russia. It may not be huge, but of people who are prepared to clearly put their lives on the line to try to stop the Russian war machine.
It's funny because you bring up a thing. People think that maybe it's all Ukrainian. It's not. It's like in the United States when people protested against the Vietnam War. I thoroughly believe that these attacks with inside Russia do of course have some Ukrainian influence. But I think it's Russians being fed up with men leaving the country and going away so they don't have to serve. I think that's a problem on the horizon, definitely, for Vladimir Putin.
Without a doubt, but you know, with his dictatorship, it's very hard for any kind of public groundswell to push him out of office. It's going to have to be his own sort of deputies and lieutenants who give up on him, his money men. And, you know, some American analysts feel that that could happen, but you might get somebody who's even worse than Putin in terms of what they think about Ukraine, even more sort of determined to win that war. Putin's speaking today at some point, but he has told others he told French President Macron, he plans to take all of Ukraine. He still plans that. That's in his head. I wonder if that's just delusional, or I don't know what to say about that. Who can figure it out?
I just go back and I remember what happened in Russia after Gorbachev was shown the door and the public outcry. And I remember seeing the attack on Russia's government by people. And you just wonder, Vladimir Putin has a much stronger hold on the country than Gorbachev did back then. So you're right. It's going to be very interesting to see how that all works out.
I'll say, lots of people watching his speech today, he continues to wave this possibility of a nuclear, some sort of attack or a dirty bomb, which is a bomb laced with radioactive material. He continues to be a dangerous man in that situation. As he continues to lose, he probably gets more dangerous in the short term.
Brian, always great to speak to you. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Fantastic. Happy Halloween.
Okay. It's you too. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Brian Ross and Real News here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.